Welcome to episode 86 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. Between you, me, and the internet, I'd like to 86 the whole topic of biology. I'm getting tired of it. But I do have a couple of more things to cover. I've been researching some of the upcoming topics, and my brain is all abuzz with programming and CPU architecture and one instruction set computers and sublek and transport-triggered architecture and genetic algorithms and genetic programming and self-adapting neural network simulations, just to give you some idea of what we'll be talking about in the near future. But right now, let's stick with the topic of bacterial symbiosis, specifically animals that do not develop correctly without their bacterial symbiotes. And we have a couple of examples, two wasps and a squid. The bobtail squid is a critter that gets, about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches long. It has an organ in the base of its body called a vibrio. This organ produces light. Its whole mission in life is to match the daylight above with the light that it lets out beneath, so that when predators view the squid from below, they don't see it silhouetted against the light. Makes them a little harder to see, a little harder to catch. The squid cannot make this light by themselves. They have to have bioluminescent bacteria, and they've developed an organ specifically to host a particular strain of bioluminescent bacteria. When the squid is first born, this organ has not finished developing. It's in an early stage. And then lots of different strains of bacteria try and colonize it. Through some unknown mechanism, their favorite strain of bioluminescent bacteria can. The rest of them are excluded. It's a happy place for bacteria. It's got all sorts of sugars and other chemicals to make bacteria happy. If the squid never gets that strain of bacteria in that organ doesn't finish growing. It remains undeveloped. That's one example. Interesting side note. Every night, the bobtail squid squirts its bacteria out of its body. This is probably to help it keep from accidentally glowing in the dark. It cuts down on the amount of energy they have to spend in order to support the bacteria, and it ensures there's bacteria swimming around to colonize other squid, including the young ones. Let's move on to parasitic wasps. Parasitic wasps lay their young inside the bodies of other creatures, mostly larvae of other insects, although occasionally adults and occasionally spiders. There is a species of parasitic wasp, two of them actually, that both have different strains of a particular bacteria in their bodies. In one species of parasitic wasp with its own strain of bacteria, the bacteria has caused the wasp to go from sexual to asexual reproduction. When the bacteria is present, the females lay eggs that only produce female offspring. If the bacteria is removed, they lay eggs that produce both males and females. However, the females have lost the response to the male courtship, so the males are effectively sterile. Without the bacteria, producing these sterile males is a waste of energy. This is something about evolution. Things happen. They may or may not be an advantage. Is this an advantage for this particular wasp? Well, give us a couple hundred years or maybe 1,000 or so, and we'll have a better idea. In another related strain of parasitic wasp, with another related strain of bacteria, if the female does not have that bacteria in her body, she cannot lay eggs at all. In both strains of wasp, this is a vertically transmitted bacterium. The bacteria is present inside the egg when it's laid. In the second strain of parasitic wasp, this particular bacterial symbiote has become an obligate partner. That is to say, they cannot reproduce unless this bacteria is present. Those are just a few examples. I have references for what we just talked about on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. I also have one more paper on animal behavior and bacterial symbiotes. The paper talks about a number of creatures, from bumblebees to mice to hyenas, that have developed particular behaviors to ensure that they get the right sort of microbes in their bodies. It's an interesting topic, the idea that little microscopic creatures can affect the behavior of animals, including mammals. So it deserves its own episode. And we will start with that next time, with mice, rats, cats, people, parasites, and behavioral changes. I'll see you next time.